This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
17 days into the Nancy Guthrie disappearance, investigators have no suspect in custody. They're supposedly building a case. It's going to be an interesting case. That a defense attorney will eventually have to tear apart if they find a living suspect. Evidence has been sent to a private Florida lab instead of the FBI at Quantico. The crime scene was released early enough for journalists to photograph blood on the porch and walk all along it, including pizza delivery people, the pool guy, a lawnscaper, and whoever else, you know, ordered DoorDash. And 16 gloves were collected in or around the home, 15 of them allegedly now discarded by the search team itself, because, yeah, when an arrest finally comes, if an arrest finally comes, what will this case look like from the other side of the courtroom? That's something folks need to be thinking about. Defense attorney Bob Mata is with us, host of the podcast Defense Diaries. Always wonderful to have you here to get your legal mind on, this shit show. The Pima County Sheriff released Nancy Guthrie's home back to the family before the scene was fully secured. Journalists walked up and photographed. We now had the pool guy, the lawn guy, the pizza guy. There's been some others. I've lost track of who's just kind of trampled around the property. From a defense attorney standpoint, what does all of this mean to the integrity of the crime scene, and what could eventually be challenged should they ever get said bad guy?
Well, first of all, hey, Tony.
Hey.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Bob.
Good to see you guys. T, it's the gift. It's the gift that keeps on giving. That's what
Jesus.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, the moment that a crime scene is released and unauthorized people have access, journalists, family, anyone really, the chain of custody for that entire location is absolutely compromised. There's no two ways about it, because you have unknown people who have walked through. Because remember, here, it's not just probably shitty processing on the front end and then release. It's shitty processing, release, re-grab the property, more shitty processing, release, re-grab. This went on multiple times.
It's a circle of shit.
It is going to be an absolute issue at trial. Yeah. And it was like the same thing, you know, when we were anticipating that there was going to be a Koberger trial.
Yeah.
We'd always talk about it, like that compromised crime scene. For whatever reason, it took those kids to call, took until noon for them to call 911. Whatever the hell they were doing in that house did not help in terms of being able to collect evidence that hasn't been tainted or somehow compromised. So, it is definitely going to be a thing. It's going to be a problem. You know, you have not only the potentially compromised evidence from within the house, outside the house, in the yard, wherever the case may be, objects were moved. The theory of things were being planted is going to be alive and well. I mean, all the things that defense lawyers can come up with in order to try to establish reasonable doubt will be brought up, and it's ripe for it because they made it that way, you know?
Yeah, and I would say even more ripe for it every single day that we don't have anybody, and every single day that one investigative branch is saying this and it's contradicting them here, and one person speaking out over here. Feels like everybody's kind of on their own individual paths here on where this is going and what the official stance is and the word is on virtually every aspect of this case, which at the end of the day, if they get somebody, hopefully they get somebody. What you were saying earlier, the opportunity for things to be planted at a crime scene because we need to get somebody in custody because the world is staring at us going, we got to get somebody. We've certainly seen in other cases when that pressure exists, sometimes authorities, again, not saying this is happening here, but we've seen it in other cases where things do get planted to basically meet that public pressure to find the bad guy, trying to slam that square peg into the round hole. I'm not saying that's what's happening here, but we need to be vigilant on it at this point as to where this is going, who they find, when they find them, if they find anyone, and the dynamics of all of that, because all that's going to play into the defense.
Yeah, 100%, man. And it's the problem is that the investigation and the processing of the scene created this issue. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that it can be cured. I mean, right now, if you look at the status of the property, it's fucking wide open.
Yep.
I mean, like you said, I mean, the pool guys were over there yesterday. Like, nobody thought to cool off, like, call off the pool guys. Like, the lawn guys are over there.
Yeah.
Like, why are they letting them on the property?
I don't know. This entire scene, and I'm talking not just the house itself, but for the neighbors, nobody should be allowed in and out of that cordoned off area that should be a much bigger circumference than just the house.
I mean, shouldn't there be some security or something just watching it because it is such a high profile case at this point?
I mean, Stacey, if there isn't, my fucking head's going to explode. I have to assume that the feds have some way to keep an eye on that house just to make sure if somebody happens to come back to that house for any reason, it would spark interest in their eyes in terms of like, okay, who the fuck is this guy and why is he here?
Yeah.
Like, is this a possible clue?
The feds are there. I mean, the feds have other equipment standing by for their big photo op when that's ready to go, too.
And all the handshaking and patting on the back. And
so the resources are there. There's plenty of FBI agents that are there that aren't even doing anything at this moment because they haven't been called in for their roles to be played yet. Yeah. So it's not like there's not people there. I guess, the simple question is, because everybody's like, why is the lawn people showing up? Why is it? Well, they're on a schedule. That's how those things work.
Right.
But okay, so I'm not surprised they showed up. They're just doing their job. But when they show up, why is no one telling the pool guy, crime scene, sorry, you can take us off your list at this point. You're not allowed to be here. Why is the pool guy able to go back and work the pool? Why is the lawn guy working the lawn? Why are they not just being turned away immediately going, you can't be here? And I guess, I mean, the other question, maybe, I don't know, if you are the lawn guy or the pool guy, why aren't you like stopping for him and going, maybe I should call the owners or whoever's in control here. Do you really want me to be doing this today?
They might have no fucking clue.
Yeah.
Shouldn't somebody in the office that does the scheduling or sends people out for the day go, wait a minute, Nancy Guthrie?
If it's that type of service, you know what I mean?
It's not their job to do it. And just like, it just feels like every single element of sensibility on everyone's part doesn't exist.
Yeah.
it's crazy. But like, to Stacey's point, I mean, there are individuals that have companies that don't have an office.
You know,
it's a story like, my lawn guys don't have an office.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No.
If I don't like, and I don't, frankly, I don't even have their fucking phone number. So I couldn't
keep
call.
Showing
you
up.
Catch them when they're mowing. Hey, hey,
here's your check.
That's it. Or, you know, there's the same with pool guys. Like pool guys. Yes. It could be a bigger company or it could be a dude who does pools, Walter Matthau, you know, Bad News Bear style.
Why are they allowed on the prop?
I mean, right. Yeah. It's like you said, that is a law enforcement exclusive problem, and it's inexplicable and
it's
inexcusable. It's both of those things. And it's crazy, you know, and ultimately at the end of the day, when you kind of look at this case and it's funny because we all sit here and we're like, oh my God, I've never fucking seen anything like this. This is fucking insane. This is crazy. But that's not true. Okay. Because the way that it goes, all we need to do is go back to the point before Koberger was arrested. We were saying the exact same shit about that investigation. We're all losing our fucking minds. The families, some of them were losing their minds. These fucking guys are incompetent. What are they doing? We need to hire real, you know, like Gabby Petito, same thing. Like every time we have this kind of period of time where the thing doesn't get solved and everybody starts micromanaging one another in terms of agencies and they're not playing well with one another, and it kind of spills out into the public, and we're watching, you know, things kind of unravel, or at least it seems from our perspective as the public, because the reality is we have no fucking idea what they're doing behind the scenes.
Sure.
In terms of the feds and Pima, I don't know how well they're working together or how they're not working together well. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, we're all seeing the same stories, you know, conflicting reports from fucking different people, and the feds just never say anything, which is what they do. That's how the feds do not come out and update the public. That's not how they operate. Mm-hmm. That's cops, not federal agents. They just don't do that. When we hear from feds is when they make an arrest. That's when we hear from feds. So in terms of whether they're playing well with one another, I would hope so. You know, and I mean, obviously we see the Nano stories about 2016 where he's talking shit about the feds because they're investigating him and I don't trust him. So, I mean, that has legs. I mean, that's not an irrelevant story. I mean, the guy probably does have some kind of feelings about the feds for fucking looking into him. Yeah. So, you know, but is he able to put that aside and do what's best for the investigation? You would hope so. But, you know, then you get the Pima Union, the police union, coming out with a 299-1. Like, no confidence.
I know. It's like it says something. Track records say something. I'm curious, Bob, what's your take from your perspective on the glove? I mean, I don't know which glove of the 16 we're talking about. We're talking about the one that was found 2 miles away from the home. And I've been trying to quantify why this glove is important. And the best that I can glean from any sort of reporting or any sort of statements made by authorities is this. I mean, and I'm just paraphrasing, but this is essentially what's been said, is that it's looks similar to the one in the videos.
I mean, like,
well, yeah, so does every latex glove.
Right?
Like, so are we, like, we're going in, like, we're at 2 mile radius? How many latex gloves are we going to find on the ground if we truly canvass every inch of this community where there's also homeless and there's also drug use and there's also a lot of reasons and ways and places that people would use these latex gloves? And just because there is unidentified male DNA on it, this latex glove found 2 miles away, we somehow think it's going to be related to this case, but we've not tested it yet, so we don't really know. So how the hell are they coming to this conclusion already that this is the A1 valuable piece of evidence, or is this all just a big fucking ruse?
I don't know, man. It's like, it depends on who you ask.
Yeah. Right?
And I'm waiting. I don't know what the over under is on minutes before somebody says nitrile gloves. I kept calling them latex gloves. No,
they're nitro gloves.
They're nitrile.
Excuse me. Yep.
Whatever. You know, people that use them, I guess, care about that.
That's
your bigger point. That glove scares the shit out of me. Like if you're the dude who threw that fucking glove out of your window and you don't have a damn thing to do with this thing, and they somehow have decided that this is important to the Guthrie case and is connected for reasons unknown, and they get a DNA hit on it, and then you're hauled in and you have nothing to do with it. You're like, holy shit, man. Like, this is what happens when you, like, litter.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, this is like we could go down the Richard Allen track here pretty quick.
It's terrifying. It's terrifying. Yeah. It is, because it's 2 miles away from the scene. You know, it's kind of like, I mean, maybe it's slightly, I mean, not as many people smoke as they used to, right? Like, back in the old days, you find a cigarette butt. It could be around a crime scene. It could be a very, very good clue, right? But like now, smoking's not quite as prevalent. And, you know, to me, it's a little stronger than finding a random cigarette butt like 2 miles away from the house and saying, okay, this thing, you know, it's like, oh, well, we saw a glove on the camera. So now every glove that we find within a 10-mile radius is potentially smoking gun evidence. That is a scary proposition.
It is.
Well, it is. I mean, I go for walks. It's been a little while. I need to go more. But when I lived out in the country not that long, I go for walks all the time out in the country. And it was, you know, plots of land. It was kind of, I guess, in my part of the country, it was similar to Guthrie. There's big houses around, but everybody kind of has their area. Yep. And then there's road, and you walk around. And even you go for a walk, you find weird shit on the side of the road. You're like, you're always like,
like the random sock. Like, what's that?
Yes, exactly. And there's also, and I've seen many of
latex or what is it? Glove, the
nitro
gloves. You know, I would take a while. I would bet if I were a betting person, if you said, Tony, go walk around a 2 mile radius of your home, I bet you can't find one latex glove. I'll bet you I'll come back with 10 in an hour.
Well, that's crazy. I said, why are there so many gloves?
Allison last night.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to go. Cause we're, you know, same, like we've got big, you know, like big lots around here.
Yeah.
Lots of like little forest preserve areas. I'll find you want a fucking toe with little green nail polish on it. I'll get you a toe. You
know what I mean?
It's like that. It's that shit. It's exactly that kind of situation. And here the problem is that we know that the first responders and the people that were processing the scene were taking their gloves off and just tossing them in the fucking yard. Like to the tune of like 15 of them. Like we know that exists in the world, that was part of this investigation. You can't trust a glove that you find 2 miles away, man. So whether or not, you know, Enten interviewed somebody yesterday, a guy that works for Pima, and he's not I think he was a sergeant. And this guy's like, I don't know, man. Is it smoke and mirrors? Is it a wild goose chase? Maybe. I don't know. You know what I mean? At least that guy's being honest.
Yeah.
The potential weight of that particular piece of evidence. But I don't think that the case is going to hinge on that particular glove.
I'm not understanding why there's this weight on this glove.
It's for lack of evidence that we're aware of. You know what I mean? Like, I think a lot of that comes from the public. I think a lot of it is trying to address the public speculation about this glove that was, I mean, it was literally, I remember when the story popped up. There's a fucking black glove, 2 miles away from the house. And then that became a thing.
Yeah.
You know, and then like the feds are like, all right, well, let's go collect it, you know, or Pima, whoever it was. And then you had the pissing match about what lab they were going to send it to, you know, and it's like, it can't hinge on that. I mean, to me, and I don't know if we're getting to this, but I think where this investigation gets solved is where they are able to finally, and I saw you did a short on it, T, and it was exactly right. Like, get all of the Walmarts, the Targets, every place that sells those, because those aren't specific to just Walmart. I've bought that.
Well, the backpack is a Walmart specific. The other items are not. But they do sell some of them there. So
I'm saying is you do
look everywhere. Yeah.
You go to every big box store in the area and say, I need you to go through your system and find out if anybody bought two of these items at the same time. And if
the same day purchase at different stores, line it up, cross that. When you can cross that, when you can get a receipt, when you can find these items being purchased in somewhat sequential order, hopefully maybe from the same receipt at the same store or maybe different places. Then you go back, then you can look at the cameras in that store, figure out who bought it, get a shot. Okay, there's at least a person of interest. Then if you can cross-reference the cell tower ping with said person, and if that person is pinging over there, then you have a suspect.
And you got a suspect.
I would hope the first thing that they would have done is that you send out preservation letters to all of them, like the feds. You got to go into every big box store around the entire general region, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I'd probably go out 20 miles and be like, look, pain in the ass, but we need you to preserve all your video. I don't know if you overwrite after a certain point. We need everything preserved. Mm-hmm. What we don't need them is trying to do whatever they did with Ring in terms of the Nest.
Recovering, deleted,
Like, so you put it out there to all the big box stores. Mm-hmm. You are preserving all of your video for the last, we're going to go back, as far as you can before it's been overwritten. So whatever date that is, as far back as you go, we need you to preserve it from that point moving forward, because we're going to need to look at it. Because that ultimately, to me, is what is going to solve this case. It's going to be that exact thing, because that's how they'll narrow it down. But those three steps that you just talked about are exactly how they land on a suspect.
And it's scary. It's like, okay, we're saying this. out loud. I mean, we can't be the only ones knowing this or thinking this. This is just common sense shit, but I'm scared sometimes because it's like, oh, we didn't do that yet. In some cases, it's like, now is a good as time as any. If that's not been done, but I would imagine, I mean, I guess and here's the thing behind the scenes, like you said, we don't know what's going on. Maybe they do. Maybe they already got a recognition. Maybe they already know who this guy is. And in Koberger, when Fry was up there at the podium saying, we have no persons of interest, we have nothing, the feds were already following Koberger. Yep. They already knew who he was.
Right. Right.
So what's happening public facing versus what's happening behind the curtain sometimes is something good. It's not always something bad that's going on behind the curtain. But the problem is the people that are walking out in front of the curtain who just came from behind the curtain are contradicting shit and they have a track record of no faith.
Right.
So that makes us go, I don't know that I trust what's going on behind the curtain, especially when they drop 16 gloves as they walk out from behind the curtain.
Right. And look, man, that's exactly right. And ultimately, I think the rule of thumb moving forward with respect to anything that we're hearing is if it's not coming from the feds, ignore it. Because, I mean, what's evident with Pima is that you've got those are the folks that are contradicting one another. Now, whoever these unnamed sources are that everybody claims that they have, and I trust them fucking implicitly, I would step in front of a bullet for this, whatever that shit is. Yeah. I don't know what agency those people are from for these people that are getting this insider knowledge, but it doesn't help the case because if you're asking a Fed and a Fed is going to be honest with you about this type of investigation and they're going to say, look, like, why in the world would we fucking say that we have a suspect to clue that person in? Why would they ever do that? Like, that makes no sense. It's nonsensical for them to announce to the world just because we want to know. The public wants to know. Fuck the public. We're trying to get a case solved here. We are of no consequence. Well, I'm sorry. As much as we want to know.
At the end of the day, there's a missing woman. Can we just freaking find her?
That's what it's about.
Can we find her too before we start telling him we're going to kill him?
Yeah.
Be a little, you know, when you're trying to draw somebody out saying, you're going to die.
Right. Death penalty.
Like, okay. And it's not that I'm opposed to it. Kill the fucker if he killed this woman in some sort of malice. But can we get him first? Can we draw them out before we start shooting the hole that he's in?
But, and beyond that, it erases if there exists any kind of motivation. Like, as this continues to go on and the person or persons are like, fuck, man, this is like a nightmare. You know, Nancy sitting in some cabin, you know, up in the mountains somewhere. Like, and they're like, this is fucking crazy. And like, what are we going to do? So if there was any kind of motivation to say, all right, like, we've got to like end this somehow. Let's tell them this is where Nancy is. Then we're going to dip. Like, any motivation to do that has now been erased by the threat of death.
Exactly. It's another lever of this that didn't need to be pulled. Yeah. And another example of how everyone is working against each other. Because here's the deal. Savannah's post, I'm 99% sure it was probably influenced by the behavioral analysis unit that said, here's what we got to do. Let's try and appeal to the humanity of this person. Because if this person is not a psychopath or a sociopath, crazy killer that's out there doing this, if this is a B&E gone bad, and this is some moron who thought that the best path of action for life was to steal, to provide for themselves and their family, there's probably some humanity there. They're very often they're thinking, but they're also not sociopathically evil either.
Right.
So if you can appeal to that humanity, which is what we've been talking about for 2 weeks now with Robin Drake, who was the head of the behavioral analysis program, is just that, appeal to the humanity of those around this person to influence them, to inspire them to do the right thing, to go, this is because they're probably sitting somewhere in horror going, oh my God, this was a B&E gone bad. I thought I was just dumping a body. And now you have the president of the U.S. saying they're going to kill you. That's quite a stretch, quite a change from like B&E gone bad to holy shit. If you can inspire that person to come out and do the right thing, or at the very least say where the fuck they dumped the body, that's what we're going for. That's what Savannah's videos are about. It's about inspiring that someone to come out or someone to say, okay, enough is enough. I know the person who did this. I'm not going to let this family suffer. But that doesn't work when you threaten to kill them.
I know. What is Robin's take on, like, does that coded language is which, you know, how I would categorize it, you know, kind of the, does that
it's
work?
Coded. It's not coded. It's just truly inspiring someone.
No, but like, really, that's what they call it. It's like coded. It's not like it's a secret code, but it's like these words are being used, specific words are being used in order to trigger that emotion that you're talking about. Like, so
I don't know.
Does it ever work?
I'm not saying specific words. I'm just saying the messaging in general, the direction of it, of just, I mean, look,
coded message to if they're watching, they're trying to use certain words and terms in order to emote or to cause some kind of emotion.
Yeah.
But what I'm asking
is
does that shit ever work? Like how many of these kidnappings and you know, they're not, at least in this country. I mean, obviously we go down to Mexico with the cartel shit. That's different.
Yeah.
But up here, I mean, like I'm trying to remember if I could think of anything where there was a major kidnapping where that kind of shit kind of worked and the person just felt bad. And I was like, okay.
Well, and it's not necessarily just for that person. It's for those around that person that may know if they told somebody and inspiring them to come forward to.
Yeah,
to
that's
everything. So yeah, it's kind of a blanket thing for that person or those around that are maybe not monsters. The worst they're doing is stealing from people, but at the end of the day, they're not murderers. And they don't want to be known as a murderer, and they don't want their family to think of them as a murderer. But and they also don't want to think of as some sort of a horrible, cowardice, you know, vile person that did this and is now going to go hide in a hole for the rest of their lives either. So it's kind of speaking to the ego of that individual. And again, just the humanity, assuming they're not sociopathic or psychopath, then you're dealing with someone who doesn't give a shit. But if you can reach that individual or someone immediately close around them and influence that way, that's the thought process. That's what Savannah was doing.
Yeah. That kind of dovetails into that conversation of what this was, what was the intent of this thing? It can only be a few things, right? It was either a burglary that went bad. It was a kidnapping that went bad. And when I say went bad in the sense that they kidnapped her and her failing health caused her to pass away, like right after they kidnapped her. And they're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
What do we do now? Or it was a kidnapping and she's still alive. Like to me, those seem to be the three possibilities to me. And I know it's coming out, you know, that some unnamed law enforcement sources are saying that it's a burglary gone bad. To me, that makes no fucking sense. Like, I don't look, and I did it a long time in terms of working with criminals and being on the criminal defense side of it. And yes, there are a vast majority of criminals are not smart. Mm-hmm. But in terms of thinking that if this was a burglary that went horribly, horribly wrong, that the best thing for you to do is to now take the deceased 84-year-old woman away from the property. And you've now created a much bigger issue for yourself, which is disposal of the body, which is really, really fucking hard to do. Like, I don't know what people think. Like, this is not TV.
Yeah.
We are out in a world in which there are cameras everywhere. There are people everywhere. I don't give a shit what time of night it is. When you've got a body that you have to dispose of, it's a major, major undertaking. So, you know, like to me, that doesn't really make sense. I think that they would have been better off just cleaning and leaving Nancy there if it had gone wrong inside during the burglary. Cause that's nonsensical. Like, why are you bringing the problem with you?
I agree to an extent, but it's also nonsensical if you're going to go and break into somebody's house or whatever the hell the intent was there and not prepare for a Ring doorbell that you're literally grabbing foliage to cover it with, which we discovered last week on the show together as that was dropping. Like, that to me just shows like stupidity. So, I mean, I don't know. I feel like a moment of oh my God, he's there for 40 minutes trying to figure out what the fuck to do. And if for some reason, like, you know, they scratched him, and if the person had any sense watched a episode of Dateline at some point in their life, they're probably aware that DNA would transfer under fingernails. And if Nancy then becomes the actual piece of evidence, the only piece of evidence that may reveal something about this person, Nancy becomes the piece that needs to disappear. And no, not easy to do, not intended, not part of the equation at all. The hope might have been that she just sleeps through the whole thing and never realizes anything was stolen until she wakes up. But you're sitting there, you're freaking out. It's not part of the equation. Oh my God, what do I do? I've never done a thing like this. Maybe the best thing is to take the body. They're not thinking of that because they have no reps. They're thinking that might be the easiest path.
Well, they're going to discover in very short order. That was the wrong thing.
I think they've already discovered that. Yeah.
But
I
mean, we're 17 days in, you guys. Why haven't they been discovered yet? Why hasn't her body been found? Why hasn't somebody seen something?
Well, here's the bigger question to me, Stace, is if we have the Nest camera footage from prior to, where the fuck, why haven't they recovered the shit? Did he take it off? Like I know that he removed it at some point, right?
The timeline still doesn't make sense to me.
The timeline is so fucked in this case. I don't understand it. And the problem is that we see no timestamps on any of those videos.
On anything,
You know, well, so I don't know what's what, when that's from. I'm assuming it's from when they get there or he gets there. Yeah, the whole thing is just... It's just mad.
And Stacey, I mean, I think the answer to the question, why haven't we found her? Because the Arizona desert is vast.
It is huge.
And I think...
I was telling Allie last night, like Allie asked the same thing as Stacey did. And I'm like, were you fucking kidding me? I'm like, have you ever seen, even though it was New Mexico, but have you ever seen Breaking Bad? That desert.
It's not like they were in an area... I mean, I suppose any place you could find, you know, convenient places to drop a body, but it's not like they weren't in like one of the most opportune areas to find a hide a body, you know, if that's the direction that they went.
Well, somebody was telling me that there's a huge amount of abandoned mines. Huge amount of abandoned mines. Like if you have anybody that's like at all familiar with the area, you know, I mean, like it's a scary proposition. It's starting to feel like if, God forbid, Nancy's not alive and the hope is to recover her remains, that it's going to have to be that they catch the guy and the guy fesses it up. Because to me, it just seems like such a needle in a haystack because of the terrain and the surrounding area. It's just, I don't know, man.
And that's where it's at. Your thoughts in the comments section, leave them there on Substack or on YouTube. Links are in the descriptions.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.